Oh shit, we're going. Shit, we're going.
Yeah, it's fine.
Wait, I'm still eating. Oh no.
It's fine.
Hey everybody. Welcome to another episode of Stargate Oversight. This episode, it's about family.
It's family.
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 Your family.
And I'll tell you. And here on Stargate Oversight, we care extremely a lot about family.
Yes, we do.
And I want to tell you how much we care about family, because on this podcast, we are going to trans your children.
Fire electroshock therapy.
Oh, God. I'm sorry. I have to stop the song because...
Copyright.
Oh, my God. No, I don't give a shit about copyright. This is an episode that... We'll get to it, but this is an episode that justifies electroshock therapy.
Folks, we got a fun episode. We got an episode that had us all in stitches for all the wrong reasons.
I don't know, most of the episode I was feeling like, all right, you know what? We got an episode, we got some stuff happening, we got good pacing, we got, you know, we don't have the old case of resolve everything in the last 2 seconds. You know, we have enough build-up, we have enough time for things to go wrong, for them to have to make new plans, and then right at the end it goes, woo!
Boy.
Also, you played completely wrong song. You should have been playing We Are Family.
God damn it!
Yes, that's right, everybody. This is the Season 2, Episode 8 of Stargate Oversight. Nope.
This is Episode 7 of Season 2.
Stargate 1.
Of Stargate, the television show, Stargate SG-1. That's what I meant. It's called Family, of course, as you can probably guess. From
Family.
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 Thank you. I am, once again, your magnificent and wonderful host, Dr. Tisha Frost. My pronouns are she and her.
Hi, I'm Hope Freyrall. I'm here as always. I actually wasn't meant to be here for this episode, but that fell apart. Anyway, my pronouns are she and it.
I too wasn't also supposed to be for this episode for specific reasons, but I'm not going to get into it. However, hi, I'm back. I'm Blaze. My pronouns are she and her, and I've been dragged into this chaotic show once again.
Listen, you keep showing up, you'll end up getting, like, an assistant... you'll get, like, a cast member credit as, like, a temporary cast member. Or, like, a recurring guest.
I mean, I'm just going to openly say it. I mean, the reason why Hope wasn't going to be on this episode is because Hope and Blaze were having the most, like, ball-slapping sex possible.
Oh my god.
Yeah. the most depraved, vampiric S&M in the kinkiest outfit you've ever seen. Like, we had this beautiful little latex maid outfit for Blaze. I was gonna rip it off her with a knife. I was gonna do things to her. She was gonna have a great time, and then she was gonna do things to me. But yeah, and so I left it in the hands of Ryan and Frosty to sort an episode out. And it fell apart at the last minute, right before we did laser tag, before the hot sex.
Hey, to be fair, I was actually genuinely quite sick.
I know.
I turned my bathroom into a war zone, but you don't want to see how it got.
I went through all of the Shibari lessons for nothing.
Yeah, but your roommate had already sold the rope for cheese.
Yes, yeah. Anyway.
Yes. But yeah, it's girls' night.
It is girls' night.
There are no boys around.
There are no boys. And to mark the fact it's girls' night, I am totally, definitely not stimming with this, like, knockoff... like a knockoff Lego brand, and like one of the things they had was like a model kit to make a fucking East German Trabant.
Oh yeah, the Trabant. I'm just stimming with the bottle opener until I remember I can just open my cider and get on with drinking it.
So, yeah, I'm basically just holding a Lego Trabant in my hand.
Listen, if we want to have the best stim toy, hold on. want to put the best stems? No shit, my Yu-Gi-Oh cards. What I have in this box is a completed Gundam aerial. With
this
real tomato action. Just one hit can reduce a man to a tomato paste.
Hey!
It's at this moment I remember I have cider downstairs and I'm going to go get a bottle of it.
Hey, just want to put it out there.
Yeah.
This will make you happy, Hope. I have actually started watching Witch from Mercury.
Yes!
That's an excited hope right
there.
I am
very happy that Frosty is watching Witch from Mercury, because Witch from Mercury is fucking great.
I'm a couple episodes past it right now, but to let you know where I am, I'm a couple episodes past Happy Birthday.
Ah, yes, Happy Birthday, yes! Happy Birthday to Ellen! I hope he has a nice life.
Yeah. So, yeah, we are here, of course, not to talk about Witch from Mercury.
Go watch
or
it.
Or Gale Elise German cars. Or absolutely erotic, just beautiful sex between these two lovely people here.
We're here to talk about Gunpla.
Yeah, exactly. No, we're here to talk about the mysterious disappearance of our friend Ryan.
Oh, boy.
The FBI, the National Crime Agency, Interpol, everyone, they're out for him right now.
I mean, I can tell you what happened to Ryan. Mm-hmm. Ryan is the man who lives in your phone, right?
Uh-huh.
Well, the guest we were going to get on is a real-life robot called Roboto, if you remember correctly. So Ryan is now the man inside the robot. While you were being sick...
Hold up. Are you saying that he's inside of another man?
No, he's inside of a robot that doesn't have an arbitrary gender defined by society. And is signed to it at birth. Respect the robot's lack of gender, dammit!
Oh, I'm sorry.
Are not all automated creations of man immediately considered female?
Mm, exactly. Boats are female. Cars are female.
Bikes are female. Robots are female.
Yeah, that's true. As we've learned from watching Evangelion, giant robots are women because they have the soul of your dead mom in them.
Mechanics in the future will pick apart your chassis and they will know that you were a woman.
I thought
Sorry, please, go on.
I thought robots were deemed female, or automated devices were deemed female, because females were designed and destined to do man's job, because man are too lazy to do it themselves.
No, the reason why all robots are designated female is because the human pilot has been reduced to just a number and is now just called the Hound, and is tied up and muzzled inside the robot for the purpose of killing and murder. But I can fix... Okay, she can make me worse.
It's because we live in an inherent patriarchal society where women are seen as subservient to men and exist only for the service and pleasure of men, and thus we give inanimate objects that are designed to fulfill the needs of men a female gender.
So does that mean that the suit Master Chief is in that jacks him off is female?
Nah.
Is it not powered by Cortana?
Nah, come on. Yeah, you might want to say what you like, but I've seen the way that Chief looks at Arbiter.
Ah, yes, bringing new meaning to Arby's and the Chief. I love this podcast. We have so much fun. listen, before I get distracted into talking about Armored Core Rubicon and just how good the people on Twitter have been about being thirsty about female mech pilots and shit, we should probably talk about the episode before I have to cut even more.
I do need to roll back to put a single topic, though. Seeing you've somehow managed to get Frosty to start watching it, when do I get indoctrinated?
Whenever.
Well, that's, of course, when we start our sister podcast, Gundam is Gay.
Yes! To be fair, that is going to be, like, we're going to do AU month in December, I think, is when we'll finish season two. And I do have penciled in for AU month Gundam and Fringe right now. So we just need a third.
I mean, we can just do what everyone else does and like go on a gay dating app and say, hey, we're looking for a third.
Hold on, let me check the polycule diagram on which number I'm looking for.
Me and my husband, we're current experiment right now. So on your profile that you're bisexual, honey.
Hold on. At this rate, I'd be looking for a fifth. So, no, wait, six. Fuck my life.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry, Miss Fucks-a-lot here showing off.
My love life is... it's a mess. It's an unpredictable mess, and I've learned to roll with it. Because at the end of the day, it's all about...
Family.
Yeah, love life is a forever evolving web.
Yes.
Well, speaking of relationships being unpredictable...
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a great lead-in to this episode of Stargate.
Yeah, unpredictable relationships, such as with your child.
Boy.
not exactly what I was going for, but sure.
Yeah, because it's, so, in this episode, the role of Teal'c will be played by Dominic Toretto and Mike Rock'em Shock'em Pence.
Oh, goddammit. Yeah. Most of this episode is good.
Yeah, this episode is really good, and then it just, like, it goes to finish its routine with an impressive jump off the top step. It flips, and it lands, and it breaks its neck on the edge of the pool. Storm. Sorry, my cat has just invaded my desk.
Oh, damn, I didn't know we had a returning guest on this episode.
Yeah, returning champion Storm the cat is here. Have you got anything to say? Understandable, Kitty. Understandable.
Well, that was a very thorough opinion about Max Payne, a recent bonus episode that you can find on our Patreon at patreon.com/sgopodcast.
Yeah, no, he's Storm the Cat has many opinions, from his opinion on cans of Monster to opinions on bottles of Brother Cider to
please don't feed any of that stuff to your cat.
I'm not. No, his opinion on them is get them off my desk. This is my desk. My desk to lie on and snuggle your keyboard and press all the number pads and ruin your streams.
So,
12 minutes in, let's talk about Stargate.
Yep, let's talk about the episode. An episode that begins just much like our unscheduled, complete off-tangent weird rambles. This episode begins with an unscheduled gate summoning thing.
Yeah, I love the start of this episode because this is great. It's pretty standard. Off-world activation. It's SG-1. Pause. The camera cuts and you just see, in order, Carter, Daniel, and Jack, who has no idea what's going on, just like,
hi, how are you?
Oh, we're SG-1!
Where is she? One? Oh, no.
I just love the delivery.
Hi, how are you?
It's like, what's going on? I've just woken up. I finished my bowl of cereal.
Yeah, and they're like, well, the only other person who could be using the SG-1 code, apart from, you know, those clones of us who have our exact memory, is, of course, Braytag.
We got new code since then, but yeah, it's our boy. Storm, get your bloody mitts off the keyboard and stop writing all over my notes.
Aww.
It's Tony. Yeah, Storm's added notes to this is ++++++++9++++8.
That's his score of the episode.
Yes. Yeah, it's our boy.
He's predicting the next episode to be covered, episode 9.
Yeah, it's our boy. Our boy Tony Amatola has arrived. A man we love to fucking see. Like, we watched some shitty Rapture movies in uni. And one of them, like, we were high as fuck. And I just looked over at the TV and I was like, why the fuck is Braytag on screen? Because Tony Amatola was just playing a fucking Catholic priest in this movie about the Antichrist. Like, what are you doing, buddy?
I'm on my chest.
But yes, yeah. But anyway, back on topic. Yeah, Braytag is here. He's like, my boy!
You are Hammond of Texas.
Yeah, he does the line. He does the line again.
He says this every time he sees General Hammond. Because, like, he is Teal'c of the Somewhere Somewhere. This is Dryak of the Cordele Plains. Bitch, I'm Braytac. But you are Hammond of Texas.
Hey!
He is Braytac of Europa. Get it right.
Oh, no!
Braytac. Hey, Braytac. Where's my wife and son, Braytac?
Yeah, it's Clovis Braytac of Europa. That is a joke for the Destiny fans. I'm sorry.
Yeah, all 12 of you.
There's many of us. We're all really depressed and upset how hard Bungie have dropped the ball.
There are dozens of us! Dozens! We haven't even finished the cold opening of the episode. It's like 2 minutes long.
No. Yeah. Hold on, I'm trying to find the My Wife and Son drop, but my cat... 2 minutes. I'm trying to find the My Wife and Son drop, but,
wife?
That's the wrong one. That's my wife. Kitty is trying... Here we are.
My wife.
It's,
My Wife and Son.
There we go. Yeah. Braytac is there. Teal'c is happy to talk about his wife. Like, hey, where is my wife and son?
My wife and son.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, and in this episode reminds me the fact that I completely forgot that they don't know Apophis survived and Chloral survived.
I mean, yeah, this is the first time it's acknowledged because everyone thinks he's fucking dead.
Yeah, I forgot they think that because, of course, as the audience, I remember we actually saw them escape, but of course they didn't.
Yeah.
So yeah, I just completely forgot they didn't know that yet.
Yeah, hey Teal'c, good to see you. Love what you've done with your hair. Bad news, I done fucked up. Your son has been taken by Apophis, who, by the way, is super special, extra not dead, no take-backsies. And, yeah.
Also, like, how long has Apophis been back?
The entire time. They've just not...
You think Braytac would have called them already by now to have told them this?
I mean, yes. But also, if we run through the episodes we've actually been through, they have not actually had... They've had one run-in with the Ghoul, and it's one of Apophis's rivals.
No, but I'm saying, like, you would have thought the fucking second Apophis arrived, like, Braytac would have been like, hey, guys.
I mean, yeah, but it's also quite hard for him to get to the gate and shit.
I guess.
Like, if we run through, like, Line of Duty, Tok'ra and Rogue Assassin, Prisoners, Welcome to the Water Temple, the Gamekeeper... What if Shodan ran a roguelike and she wasn't hot or trying to murder you? What if Dr. Jackson was on bad weed and bad and the pussy that makes you evil? Thor's Chariot is like the one time we run into Gould and it's fucking Heroa who hates Apophis with a fucking vengeance. So, yeah. Oh,
I love it when the evil pussy shows up.
Yeah, but the problem is, it's not the good evil pussy, it's the evil pussy that stresses you out.
Damn it, I hate the evil pussy that stresses me out. Well, we all know what the premier evil pussy on this TV show is.
Carter?
No, it's not evil pussy.
Who?
Come on, you know who the evil pussy queen is.
Oh.
No, not a clue.
Oh, yeah, fucking Hathor.
Exactly! Come on!
Yep. Miss not appearing for many episodes.
Please! Mommy!
Come back, Mommy! Daniel Jackson, I mean, to be fair, that was probably the last time Jackson got laid.
Yeah.
No, wait. He clearly fucked that woman. He probably fucked that woman.
The pussy that stresses you out.
Yeah. Like, Jackson's run of pussy has been terrible. Like,
Can you put a pin in that thought? I actually want to come back to that, considering what happens in this episode. Of course, we get the opening credits, of course, as usual.
Yeah.
And after that, we have everyone sitting around in, the Cheyenne Mountain dick-sucking room.
Yeah, they've sent all the twinks away. They've just left the automated machines that are under the desk.
And they're all, you know, like, hey, he's taken your son. This is definitely a trap. And then we cut to a scene with Apophis hanging out with his buddies, saying, "It is my understanding that the British mentality treated Trump like a challenge."
No! Fuck off! Wrong podcast! Get out! What actually comes up is we have a discussion where we realize Apophis is the one ex that doesn't realize it's over. Like, he just wants his boy toy Tilk back, and Tilk is like, "No. I'm clean now. I don't need your drugs or your bad influence in my life. You're ruining my feng shui. Get out."
The delusional brain box thinking that everything works the way he wants it to.
Yeah, Hammond is like, "Well, this is quite obviously a trap." And like, "Yeah, but we've like killed like every single person who actually works for Apophis. And he's got like 5 guys left."
Yeah.
Which, honestly, as we see in this episode, is actually pretty accurate.
Yeah.
He's only got like 3 guys left.
He's not running well on
no
dudes, no. But yeah, the thing is, right, if we know it's a trap, we can out-trap the trap by out-trapping it. And at that point, General Hammond introduces...
They don't.
Yeah. And at this point, General Hammond says, "Very good, introducing the new member of SG-1, and out walks a Korean femboy wearing a pink schoolgirl uniform.
For fuck's sake.
Carrying
fuck's
a
sake.
Giant can of Rip It.
No!
But yeah. Also, I don't quite get what Hammond's... Like, Hammond gets mad here, and I don't get why. Like, Tilk hasn't lied this time? Like, he lied originally about his family, and then they made his family safe.
"You said that your family wouldn't make you vulnerable again, and now your family has made you vulnerable."
Which is fucking easy to say when you are the United States, and not a single fucking cunt is gonna be on US soil to attack you.
Mm.
Yes, Hammond is the entirety of the United States.
Look, he's like, "Look, all of the wars you keep fucking waging, you cunts. How many of them are actually on American soil? Fucking none of them, right?" So you're going, "Well, we wouldn't let our family be vulnerable." Yeah, because no one's fucking there, right?
Mm. Like, yeah, for everyone else's family to be vulnerable, the Gould must already be on Earth. Meanwhile, Teal has kept his family in occupied territory.
Which okay, I guess actually is stupid, because the whole time, the last episode we had the My Son thing, I was like, why the fuck are you not just bringing them back?
Boy.
I got nothing.
Oh, there is a reason they didn't bring them back. It's because if they did, this episode wouldn't be as it happened.
Yes. Like, "Oh, we don't want to insert a boy from a medieval society into a..." Tilk did fine!
Yeah, Tilk's fine, right? And it's probably going to be easier if you do it with a child.
Yeah.
Children are incredibly adaptable to changes in their environment.
Yeah, neuroplasticity. And there'll be wards of the US government, so... It makes no sense.
It's going to be way easier, actually.
Since when has Stargate ever made full sense?
Yeah, I mean...
That is true. I mean, we are talking about, like, what is effectively a Monster of the Week TV show, so...
Half the time, yes. But... I mean, we're also... I know I also said that this episode is... has that, but also this episode is much like My Hero Academia. It's going to treat one of its female characters like shit.
Hey, I can't believe an anime would treat female characters like shit. Oh,
you've not heard about this. Have you heard what My Hero did?
I've never watched a single episode of My Hero. I have never cared about My Hero or know anything about
it.
Neither have I, but let's hear it.
They fucking did. They did the supernatural thing.
Oh my god! Fucking gay super hell.
Yep, a gay character comes out next episode. She's fucking dead.
Incredible.
Yeah, fucking one of the villains comes out like, "Hi, my name's Himeko Toga. I'm a gay vampire, and I had like issues drinking women's blood, and everyone made me evil, but I think I could love this hero and be normal. She's dead. Next episode, she's just fucking dead.
Hey, wow.
Thanks, guys.
And then Deku dies. Deku dies and goes to heaven. Is like, whoa, geez, that's my car here in heaven.
Oh yeah, we can make these jokes as Ryan isn't here because Ryan doesn't want to be fucking spoiled. Listeners, if you still don't know, you should know that when Cass tells Dean he loves him, he goes to Super Hell, and the car joins Dean in heaven, not Cass.
I mean, I haven't seen it. I just know about that part of the show. But I do want to stress it's not even like they just kill him off afterwards. It's literally that the second he confesses it, because of some bullshit from prior episodes, goes to Turbo Hell immediately. Yes.
When you are the happiest you have ever been, you will go to Turbo Hell. That's literally the deal he made.
Yes.
It's so dumb. Meanwhile, in this one, when you're the happiest you've ever been.
Family.
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 Yeah, you'll get fucked by a weird worm creature.
What? Wait, why are we now doing Dune?
No, I'm talking about the fucking goal, you dipshit.
Oh, yeah, right. but yeah, fuck it. We know it's a trap. Fuck it, we ball. What's the worst that could happen? And speaking of balls, the US military used their latest weapon on the Jafar guarding the gate. Balls full of the dankest kush they've ever had.
I wish I fucking had gas as a drop now.
Gas. Come on and step on the gas.
Gas.
Yep. Did they do the fucking green gas?
Yeah, it's the dankish kush the US Air Force can confiscate from the Libyans.
Yes. The red, green phosphorus.
I couldn't tell whether the gas approach was American or German, to be fair.
Ouch. I think we might have to call that one.
That's fine. I would ask legal, but Ryan, the man in our phone, is our legal team, and he's currently.
I mean,
the
it's
man
not legal. It's more of just bad joke, I think.
But yeah, hey, remember Tilt's wife?
Oh boy, do I!
Yeah, you know your wife, Tilk. You know, last episode she was living in a camp, right, with your son.
She's now got a nice house.
Yes, she's got a large plot in the mist with easy access to Big Tesco, the market board, and the Aetherite crystal, so she can get everywhere.
Oh, hey, what's this? Oh, look, it's one of Tiak's best friends coming down the stairs.
Your presence in the home of my wife is greatly appreciated.
Before we get to that, like we go into the nice house and we go, you're not Tiak's wife, because I don't know if you noticed this, but Drake with the Cordelia Plains now has a new actress.
See, like, I have too bad a memory to remember these things, so no, I didn't notice.
New actress. This is Brooke Parker taking over for Sally Richardson. But yeah, you're quite right. Hey, it's my friend! Good to see you. I'm glad to see you well in my wife's house.
Oh, buddy, this is my house.
Oh,
that's so nice that you're taking my wife into your house. Yeah. Oh, buddy.
Yeah,
I think you mean my wife.
Yeah.
My house, my wife, my son, my life. Yeah.
Yeah. Listen, Tilk.
Yeah.
You're legally dead. I married your wife because you're legally dead.
Yeah, Tilk just goes from like 0 to 100 instantly.
Yeah, my notes just say,
let me out this man, I'm gonna fucking kill him.
It's times like this that it was like, I think Christopher Judge didn't know he was Kratos yet, but it was written in stone there and then.
I mean, I can tell you how Christopher Judge felt.
Disrespecting my whole family.
Yeah, of course, my note I took for this is that, he's literally a US troop now. he's finally one of the troops. He's finally one of the troops.
This is true.
Yeah, exactly.
Girlfriend's husband served for you.
Exactly. I was going to go for the classic, my boyfriend, my girlfriend's husband fights for your freedom, but yeah. And yeah, and like Jack is like, hey, Carter, why don't you take the wife? You know, why don't you take Katiak's now ex-wife? You know, just outside and just have a little chat together while we sort this out.
Yeah, Carter, you go outside with the woman and do woman things.
You be woman. You
we
do woman
need to
things,
have
Carter.
Man talk. Yeah, my notes do say, ladies outside, it's man talk time. Or
woman be silent.
And we'll get there.
Woman,
yeah,
silent.
We'll get there.
Yeah, we will
yeah.
get there.
And I cannot trust him. He's fucking my wife.
I mean, I want to point out that here I had a flashback to the last time we saw Teal'c with his wife, and he was beating his wife. Last time we saw them, he beat the shit out of his wife.
No, fuck, you're right, he did.
Yeah, no. Teal'c and his wife, it's bad writing because... This
well,
is the only
see,
real.
They are primitive.
The only real...
They are primitive people, and primitive people hit wife.
Sure.
Good American never hit wife.
Yeah, whatever. It makes no sense because when we see
40% of cops.
Yes. Like when we see like other Jafar with their wives, like it's not like this. I don't know. I think it's just such a thing of the 90s that has aged so poorly.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there.
Like, I don't think they were trying to make misogynist Teal'c. They gave us a misogynist
well,
Teal'c.
They did.
We have misogynist. Yes, you heard. We have misogynist Teal'c. But I don't think it was the intention.
Oh, can we talk about what Daniel says about all of this as well?
Do you want to give us the drop?
Well, okay, I get to know, but before he says that, though, he tries to reason with him being like, well, you know, you've been gone all of this time. It's just so natural that she would, you know, do this. And it's like, Daniel is not trying to excuse her right now.
No,
he is trying to excuse himself.
Yes,
because
yes,
he's been
is.
Fucking alone.
Yeah.
He's been fucking on the side of his wife a lot.
Like,
in this
yeah,
show.
That's true. And ever since his wife died / got kidnapped, he has fucked a gould and a princess.
Yeah, I do enjoy how. Well, actually, I don't enjoy how this show is like Daniel cheating on his wife. Okay.
Yeah, I hate it.
Yeah, okay, but we do get the premiere part of this scene, which is Daniel saying the blessed words.
It's okay. There is a far, 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 far worse relationship to come in the show.
Oh no.
And I'm very sorry.
Does it involve Carter this time?
It involves Carter and a cop.
Oh god. Yeah, since you said there was gonna be a worse relationship, I was like, well, Carter's due for it, so I'm gonna guess it's her.
I mean, you gotta remember, Carter, who is fucking lesbian as shit. Continually
yeah.
has a succession of straight alien men just be like, hi, and she goes, Or, as we had last week when we were pondering the orb, the random,
yes.
The world's most thirsty man, like everyone else.
Oh.
Which, until
That's
you...
the orb.
Sorry. Until he reappears again, and I know you said he does, but I'm just gonna personally choose to believe he's the deadest man ever.
Oh, let's be real. He probably should have been the deadest man ever, but he's back.
So yeah, we got a great scene now, by the way.
Yeah, now that Daniel has been like, listen, thank you for cucking your wife, thank your bro for getting your family off the streets and into housing, and like, we're not here to give this. We're not here to give this like a score for misogyny, but. Welcome to the 1990s. It's not good.
1,000 score for misogyny this episode.
Well, let me phrase it. Teal'c's personal score for misogyny, 10. Everyone else, not really. Like Teal'c is just there, like, buffing up the misogyny skill on his own.
So yeah, he decides to go outside, have a nice chat.
He has a fucking brood. Imagine. my son, my son, my wife is fucking my best friend. Ugh.
And then he drops, and she's like, can you stop being a brooding little cum? And he drops the fucking...
He's silent.
Sorry what I've inflicted on all of you.
I hate you so much.
I love this. I'm loving every moment of it.
Woman.
I know it's a vine boom, but you know what else that's about? Oh. It...
There's always room for family.
And things you remember about families.
You don't turn your back on family.
Even if she woman. Is. Yes! Even if she is a woman.
Jesus.
Yes, but like you that's the thing with family, you know?
Family.
Look, I'm gonna spoil this now for the listener, but you know what I think is the worst part of this whole thing of being like, this dude is fucking my wife, he cannot be trusted. You know what the worst part of that is? Mm-hmm. Like, turns out to be right.
Well, no. I think it's even dumber than that. Like, obviously it was skipping ahead. Like, mm-hmm. The only reason Frotak changes his fucking mind and turns them in is because he's a fucking moron and doesn't think that if Teal comes back into her life, she was going to want her, you know, original husband, that she probably chose over Frotak in the first place. Like,
I don't know. Would you really choose Teal, buddy, honey?
Well, no. Right. Dreyak, not me. God, no. I mean, I'm taking Dreyak and being like, hey, lesbians. How do you feel about being bitten and scratched?
This dude beats the shit out of her. Like, no.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I think, again, this is like, I'm being kind. I'm being probably being too nice. It feels like idiot 90s writing.
I mean, you say this like idiot 90s writing. This feels like a fucking 60s James Bond writing.
I hate that you're right. It feels like Connery.
Yeah.
Give me a second. Better. I had to wash my mouth out with some fucking sweet cider.
Oh, nothing is going to get rid of that taste, honey. I'm so sorry.
What if I suck your dick?
All right, when are you coming up here next?
Tonight?
Sure.
You know I have that drop to shut you up anytime now, right?
What, the woman drop?
Yeah, anytime you start doing that, I can just be like...
Woman.
You realize I'm a guy, right?
Just be silent!
Just misgendering myself. Listen, it's fine. I have all the drops we've ever needed, including the most important drop.
Oh, yeah. That's the hob.
That's the hob.
Ah! Female. It's
alright. It's okay. Why?
Because why? I haven't. I mean,
again, that was a drop specifically just for me.
It was a drop for Max Payne. And actually, it would probably be... Honestly, if I had to pick someone I was targeting with my joke, that would... Yeah, that'd be you, my dad, me, and anyone else who grew up with parents that made them watch murder mysteries at dinner. Fuck me, we're off track. The problem is, I think we've just... the episode itself has some things to talk about, but also...
We are 47 minutes in.
Look, mum, I know you're not listening to this podcast. I know you're not listening to this podcast, mum, but if you ever do, I love you.
Yeah, Dad, if you somehow find this podcast, and I will be impressed. Thanks for taking me to fencing.
If you ever just had to watch a podcast and you find this one, I'm impressed and enjoy it and know that I love you.
Aw. It's the wholesome moment where we say wholesome things to our parents that they'll never hear.
Yeah.
Dad, not you. Don't care about you.
Mm. Ouch. This is the episode that your dad actually listens to now.
I mean, here's the thing. If my dad listens to this is the episode where my dad finds out I'm Bali, so...
Oh, no.
Except, why were you up north? Reasons.
Oh yeah, Herb's dad. Your daughter has a few girlfriends and a bun friend.
I mean,
and this and that and other.
I told my parents they were poorly. They didn't fucking understand it, but they took it fine. So,
to be fair, what we might do is just like after we do Alton Towers, I might just show up at my parents' house with two other girls and be like, "Hey, Dad, can I borrow the bed? I can't drive home tonight."
Show up with all of them.
I can't get all of them in the UK. They won't fit in the car.
I don't give a shit. I don't give a shit what you have to do to get Frankie over here. Just like,
When are you doing Alton Towers again?
With you and Felly.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, if we can get the both of you there, we can do Alton Towers that week. Kitty.
Kitty.
Fuck it. We can even pick up Frosty if she wants.
I mean, I guess.
You want to do Alton Towers?
When would that be?
Or I might.
Yeah, when would that be?
Maybe. September.
When would that be? September? Yeah, bro. I could probably do that.
Maybe.
We need a token, not polycule friend.
I mean, that's the thing. If it's just you, me, and Felly, we'll just be stopping the car every 10 miles to make out. Patreon.com/SGU podcast for the extended cut of this with everything left in. I've just remembered.
You say with the extended cut, it's everything left in, as if, and then you're gonna be like editing this later, and then be like, oh fuck, the bit where I'm plugging this is gonna have to be in the extended cut.
Yeah, this bit will be left in. Just the rest of the content will be left out.
You're like, damn it, I'm only advertising to the people who are already on the podcast.
I can leave this, Ben.
I'm already on Patreon now.
Yeah, I like how we're just advertising that me, you, and our mistress are going to go to Alton Towers and then do whatever it is.
We'll be going there at September 1st. We'll be there at midday. Come meet up with us.
Oh, God, she's going to make us wear our collars around Alton Towers, isn't she?
Oh, absolutely, yeah, and I look forward to it.
I have to get mine ordered. For God's sake.
I thought she was going to order it for us.
No, we talked about it, remember? I said I could order it, and she didn't need to spend the money on me. She could spend the money on, like, fun stuff, or whatever she wants.
Oh, okay, I'll have to look for my own collar then.
That was me. Oh, I don't know about you and whatever she planned for you. I can cut some of this completely.
I have a collar, she can just get me a tag.
Exactly.
But anyway, shall we carry
on with
the
episode? Because we get a scene that I love because it's a fucking anachronism. We get ancient Gould building plans. Like, somehow, Frotak has gotten the as-builts for Apophis' palace on Chulak. Like, how... Well, one, first, never trust the as-builds. Some fucking builder has cheated and fucked it up somewhere. Second, how the fuck have you got these?
Third, can we also discuss how neat they are? It looks like he's used AutoCAD to
make it. Ancient Gould AutoCAD. Yeah. What the fuck? It's a weird one. Like,
this is where I make knockoff Gundams, Dialk.
Yeah, this is the room where we assemble Apophis' Gunpla for him because he insists we do it. And then what he does is he takes them apart and he paints them with the weather fade and puts them, and like scatters them destroyed around the battlefield.
Yes, he cuts them. He asks us to do the Gunpla for him because he's afraid of cutting himself on the X-Acto knife.
Don't make me get my X-Acto knife. Where is that? Like, I'm not scared of the X-Acto knife. I have spare blades for the X-Acto knife. It's very nice and sharp.
Hope
your British is showing, hon.
Hey, like, I've never done Gunpla, but I did see some friends doing it, and I don't know, it might be fun. Maybe I should do it sometime.
Did you not catch me streaming Gunpla the other week?
I did not, I'm afraid, sorry.
I'm streaming it again Tuesday evening, so by the day this episode comes out, twitch.tv/hopefrayoral at 5 p.m. UK, I'm going to be streaming myself building Choo Choo's demi-barding.
Oh, I can't.
This promo only works if you watch this episode within the first 17 hours of it going live.
Yeah, basically.
Anyway, carrying on with the episode.
Right. So yeah, we have a plan, right? We have the as-builds. We're going to do a sneak attack. Have we got suppressed pistols? Have we hired Solid Snake? No. What we have instead are some brown robes and some energy weapons and a thermite charge.
Yeah, we do.
Like, so stealthy when... I mean, let's be real, how loud is a fucking Zat?
I should have fucking got a, like, SWAT 4 drop for this.
Which one?
Just them being like, open, bang, and clear.
Rich, bang, clear! So they don't fuck, they bang the door, they move to clear, and fucking Ryak just runs out. It's like, gods, save me!
Save me, the traitor's here, I'm in danger, help!
Yeah, bad news, Teal'c. Apophis has used the anti-sissy hypno to make your child straight and love authority.
You killed a child.
Amazing.
Yeah,
mission complete.
That's how this mission right probably would have ended up.
You're the best, boss.
If it,
the one and only.
Like that, like, if it wasn't for the fact that he was,
Boy.
It would have, probably would have ended that way.
Yeah, definitely Child who runs past all of them almost gets fucking gunned down.
I mean, let's be real. They should have just tased the child right there and just taken him with
them. I had this later on in my notes. This didn't happen, but I was totally expecting we were going to be able to award a Jack O'Neill award for gun safety in this episode.
Oh, I'm sorry, but no, there is no Jack O'Neill award in this episode. We didn't award...
Yes, if the tasing had happened right away, the episode would have been 15 minutes.
Yeah, we could have all gone and jerked off instead.
So yeah, immediately plan fucking fails. Like, within, like, 2 seconds, the plan goes real wrong.
Mission failed, boss. We'll get him next time.
Kind of mixed Call of Duty and Metal Gear there, but sure.
Boss, you let the child escape. Mission failed. Jeffrey Epstein will be upset.
Fish and mailed. We'll get him next time.
I mean, we'd say Jeffrey Epstein will be upset, but we go back to Teal'c's house, and Jeffrey Epstein is on TV having brainwashed this child to be...
Yeah, it's like his fucking State of the Union address.
Yeah, straight of the Union address, because they've given the child the anti-sissy hypno to make him straight and love authority.
Yeah,
well, you say that, but considering who is the one that does the shock therapy in this episode...
Yeah, Teal'c Rock'em Shock'em Pence. Speaking of fake news, apparently though, Ryak might still be in there because he's fighting it as he gets his mother's name wrong.
He does. He says, yeah, he's like, yes, that's right, my mother... Dryak, meet me tomorrow at Olive Garden.
Yeah, my mother Dryak of the Mountain Dew Baja Blast.
My mother Dryak of the come to Brazil.
My mother Dryak of the all you can eat olive breadsticks at the Olive Garden.
My mother of the all you can eat lobster fest.
Now, all you can eat lobster is what you do when
My mother of the train station 5 minutes down the road tomorrow morning.
My mother on the 510 to Yuma. We got any more?
It's just so obvious. It's so obvious.
It is, like...
And Jack is the only sensible person in this episode being like, this is such the obvious fucking trap ever. And everyone else is like, Jack!
What?
How could you say this?
He's a good boy. He's fighting his brainwashing.
But unfortunately, we don't have time to continue this train of thought because the fucking cops are here.
Yeah, The Protestant militia sent by Queen Elizabeth are here, and they have to hide the Catholic priests in the priest hole, or they'll all be killed. Yeah, being Catholic.
This is so fucking funny, because Frotak is trying to stall outside to give them enough time to like hide in the thing, but they kind of fuck it up a little bit. That when they burst in, Richard Dean Anderson's still going inside of it, and they can clearly fully see him just walk into it and close the door. But they just don't remark on it, and they're like, nothing is here.
It. Buddy, why are you invading my home?
Didn't have time to edit this, or just reshoot this little bit of scene.
I didn't actually see that. Hold on.
Yeah, he's straight up still... I can't remember what time it is at, but he's straight up still entering the hole. He's still going, trying to get inside of it while they're walking in full view.
Oh, you mean the hole where the orb came from?
Yeah. He's like dead ass in full view. That's what we in the business call a goof.
Yeah. Okay, I found the scene. But yeah. Oh, everything's fine. Frotak, what a good friend you are to me. You are such a good man. We are best buddies since childhood. What could possibly go wrong?
And then immediately, Drytak and Teal'c are just like giving each other the sloppy kisses. And Frotak witnesses this, and his immediate reaction is, I'm turning these fuckers into the cops right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he just like runs straight to the palace to tell them, hey, I know where Teal'c and the other people are.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately for him, Jack follows him and fucking triple taps him.
Yeah, as we've said on this show before, I think we should actually mint a new medal here. The award for you wouldn't kill, the award for you're not gonna kill me, right? Dies immediately. I don't have a problem. Like, I don't know who would name this. I guess we could call it the Frotak Award for getting yourself killed like a moron.
No, it's the Frotak Birthday Boy Award.
Yeah, it's like, sure, if we can come up with a better name, we'll rename it. But yeah, we hereby mint the Frotak Birthday Boy Award given to the moron who goes, who's like, hey, I will kill you. I will kill you. And then doesn't believe them and fucking dies. Yeah, the Frotak Birthday Boy Award for not believing the man with the gun will kill you. I mean, he doesn't just kill you. He fucking disintegrates him from existence.
Yeah, he does the fucking laser gun triple tap that disintegrates you.
Would that have happened to me at laser tag if he did that to me?
In my experience, I don't know, but maybe if we continue shooting it, it might happen. Let's test it.
If I shot you in the eyes enough times, yes. Thankfully, I don't aim for the
unlike
head.
Unlike all the children we had at the weekend.
Hey, I've done airsoft before, and if you shoot someone in the eyes with that, you'll definitely not be seeing again.
Yeah, all the children aim at head height in laser tag, even though they don't need to. It's the glowy bits you want to aim for. No, they go for the eyes.
Hey, just bring those kids along for some airsoft. And say, yeah, you know how you always aim at the eyes? Keep doing that.
Oh, yeah, so let me just grab my full auto shotgun that fires 3 BBs at a time.
I've seen the eyes. Yeah. Airsoft guns, they're impressive.
Hey, if you ain't wearing eye protection at airsoft, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
if you're not wearing eye protection in airsoft, the site that you're at needs to rethink their rules and insurance.
Yes. Yeah, the couple times I've been to airsoft, the thing that taught me is, holy fuck, am I so unhealthy?
Mm.
I can't run the fish jet at all.
Yeah, that's why you take up running as a hobby and then realize how much you hate being outside and how many things you need to invest. Like, you realize you need trousers that can take your inhaler, you know, waistband. Oh my god, why did I not drink enough water today? I'm dehydrated halfway around the course. I'm not going to drink the lake, the swan's poo in there. Sort of thing.
Camel packs exist. They're a good call.
Yo, swan's shit in there?
They do.
Ew.
Yeah, swan shit in there.
It adds protein and flavor.
Listen, there's fish in there, and I don't respect fish.
Wait, hold up. What's the status of the swans right now?
Who
got the swans in? Who got the swans in the Queen's will?
I think they all went to Andrew because he was the favored son, so now he can nonce a swan instead of There we go.
Yeah, I love how you censored that bit, but not the word nonce. Which still makes this defamation.
Does it? Fuck.
Which, I mean, I guess he did lose the lawsuit about it, so...
Listen.
Disrespecting my whole family.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are, Andrew.
So, yeah, they're like, so Jack returns back, he's dressed as one of the fucking serpent guards, and they're like, oh, fuck, it's a cop.
Jack's like, no, I'm not, it's not the cops, it's the US military, and everyone goes,
could you fucking imagine
yay!
If he didn't, could you imagine if he didn't, wait, go, oh, wait, no, it's me in time, and they fucking triple tapped him, and they were like,
where's Jack?
And then they never know where Jack is ever again.
Did we skip over the whole part of the false mother name?
No.
No?
Oh, we actually have gone through
remember,
all
remember.
That. Okay.
We did like the entire bit, like, I am Dreyok of the Unlimited Breadsticks at Olive Garden. Remember?
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
It's fine.
I had to stop him from turning us in, and now in the morning we're gonna be showing up at
Olive Garden.
We're gonna be showing up to the birthplace of Dryak at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival.
Well, we're through two pages of the notes. The episode's nearly over because all the interesting things have happened. The episode has had its set up, and it is now going to attempt to stick the landing in the last 15 minutes.
It's going to absolutely just do the most Ryanair landing ever.
Yeah.
And by extension to that as well, previously, Feli's perspective, your girlfriend calls me Mistress too.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's carry on.
So,
okay, yeah, you can say that, and Mistress Feli.
So, yeah, they go there, Ryak's waiting with, like, two guys.
I mean, can we just go back a second about Frotak? Like, we mentioned this earlier, but, like, dude, how do you not expect this person who is clearly still into her dead husband to, you know, not jump back into his arms when he shows up again? Like, how do you not expect this?
Yo, we're fucking dead, guys. Necrophilia much?
Yeah, but she knows Teal'c isn't dead. He's just not coming back. Like, she's probably the only person who knows he's not dead. He's just technically dead. But, like, yeah, I'm sure, like, they've been together for nearly, what? It's probably been, like, a good few months, maybe a year.
Mm-hmm.
How have you not realized that she's not really into you?
Buddy, you're a side piece, bitch.
Yeah.
The reason he knows that he doesn't know that she's not into him is he just sees her as an object to pleasure himself, like most men do. Ooh. So, anyway, carry on.
The 1990s, yes.
Yes, the 90s.
Well, the concept of women being into people for sex reasons was...
Hey, Imber, if you're listening to this, you're one of the good ones, aren't I?
No, yes, the 90s, where women weren't people. They were just objects.
Hey, some of my best friends aren't people anymore.
Damn, what do you do to them?
No, they're dog. They're puppy girls now.
I'm gonna be like, yo, are we gonna have the cops knocking at our door because you said that now?
What? Making a joke that puppy
buried,
girls aren't
where
people?
Where have you buried
really?
The bodies? Where have you buried the bodies, though?
I haven't. It was a joke like... that puppy girls aren't people.
It's like my girlfriend. She's no longer human. She's a Dalmatian after me, after all the bite she took on Max.
Yeah, my girlfriend has turned into an evil Dalmatian that's chasing Cruella de Vil's mom off a cliff. Oh, fuck me. That movie was bad.
When I was a child, Dalmatians killed my parents. And now I have taken up the blade in order to seek vengeance.
On 101 Dalmatian puppies.
I watched Lady Snowblood this morning. It was a good movie.
Yeah, I watched a movie this morning. It was called Two Puppy Girls.
That sounds like...
10 out of 10 on Xvideos.
For God's sake. Yeah... So yeah, they get the boy, and everything's fine now.
yeah, like, one shot, one kill, which, correct me if I'm wrong, the Zat is one shot, one person in incredible pain, is it not?
As we'll see in this episode, in fact, later.
Yeah. Like, listen, I know the Zat is a great sidearm for, like, stunning and killing, but whatever happened to just having a suppressed pistol?
Just shoot the cunts, yeah. Right?
Like, and if you're worried about armor, the 1911, two world wars, and many other wars, the 1911 is still the pinnacle of firearms technology.
Well, you see, because of local laws on Chulak, I can't let you be carrying firearms down there. But legally speaking, this musket is a black powder weapon and not a firearm.
Like, if they are worried about armor, just buy some Desert Eagles and slap a silencer on them, it's fine.
Yeah, just get some armor-piercing 50 cal rounds for your Desert Eagle and just use those. So I swear these phases work on trigger sensitivity. The firmer you hold it, the more damage you do per trigger pull.
Ah, you just hold down the trigger and then point it at the planet and disintegrate the entire planet.
I can't wait for SG-1 in the Obama years where it's just fucking glassing every planet with the drone.
There are a few episodes with drones. That's all I'm going to say. But yeah,
I am not, you know, I've said this before, but what I'm not looking forward to in this show is the very first episode after 9/11.
You're in for a treat when we get to it. It's such a great episode to have.
Post 9/11 Stargate's going to be interesting, I feel.
Honestly, you'd be surprised.
Really?
You would be, yeah. Hold on, let me double check exactly which episode I had right after 9/11. So, September 7th, September 8th. So, you have the episode before September 8th, and then after that, March 8th. So they take, like, a break right after 9/11.
Ah, perfect time to write our new 9/11 episode.
I don't think they actually really did a 9/11 episode. No, I don't.
You see, Colonel O'Neill, we're finding ourselves having to face a worse enemy than the world. A most dastardly enemy, way worse than anything we've ever seen on any planet we've been to. Oh my god, General Hammond, what is it? Have you ever heard of the Muslim, Jack?
Yeah, they don't actually really do a 9/11 episode. What you do get is is the fact that the main character of Stargate Atlantis, John Shepard, is a helicopter pilot who flew in Iraq.
Yeah, I was about to say, there's got to be some war on terror shit that happens after.
There's not really...
Really?
No, there's some... Atlantis has some torture and some absolutely fucked up violations of medical ethics.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah,
let's go.
Yeah, you're going to enjoy that. But I don't know... Yeah, there's not really much in the way of... This show actually kind of gets through it mostly unscathed from my memories and from looking at the episode summary.
A show about the military doesn't go all war on terror?
No, not really. Like, again, the closest thing to, like, war on terror is Shepard mostly being portrayed as an innocent little birthday boy who flew a helicopter in Iraq and did nothing wrong.
Yeah, everyone knows the helicopter pilots in Iraq didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah, that's the closest to it that he did nothing. Hold on, wait. Sorry. Can you just give me that line again?
I'm sure we all know that helicopter pilots in Iraq never did anything wrong.
What? No.
Anyway, next episode is going to be Black Osprey. Hawk down.
Commander Shepard flew the Apache, Black Hawk, Cobra,
V-22 Commander Osprey. Commander Shepard?
Yeah, we do. He's Major Shepard, and he is in Afghanistan. But it's okay. Because he did an unsanctioned operation to save his friends.
Oh yeah, Stargate.
Stargate.
Thank God I don't do it because I'm terrible accents. If you've ever listened to my streams, God.
Speaking of disrespecting families,
Yeah, the fucking Carter has to give the kid a pat down.
Mm-hmm. It's invasive TSA search. Yep.
Yeah, at least they got a woman to do it.
Hey, speaking of
actually
invasive searches.
But yeah, Jack, rightly so, still thinks something is up and is like, look, maybe all of Apophis' loyal Jaffa are dead, or maybe this is too easy. Maybe. Remember fucking Cassandra? Remember the nuke room? Remember the time Carter decided to be a woman and go back down to the nuke room with the scared child? Remember the nuke room?
No, my son's different. This is gonna be fine. Please ignore how much fucking runtime there is left of this episode.
Yeah, my son is just built different.
Yeah, he's built different. That is literally Tiak's response
it
here.
Is.
My boy just built different.
It is.
So yeah, they're like, okay, fine, we go back to the gate now. There are only two guys there. Kind of sus, right?
No, Apophis is running out of men, it's fine.
Oh no, he's run out of men. We've killed most of them all at this point.
Yeah, it's fine. Don't worry about it. Sure. There's definitely no trap waiting for us when we get back.
Yeah, there is no trap. It's, yeah, Apophis has run out of dudes. Like, you know, we blew up two ships full of dudes, so what if there's no more dudes?
So yeah, they get him back, and,
Yeah,
they give him, invasive medical procedures, and he reacts exactly like I do when they do that to me.
Yeah, hi, kid. We just need to take your blood. Hey, why have you regrown the teeth you lost as a child?
No, get the fuck away from me! Get the fuck away from me! Get the fuck away from me right now! Get the fuck away from me!
Yeah.
Huh, that was a funny reaction.
Yeah, what's all that about? Oh shit, he's trying to bite down. Stop him, he's got a suicide pill.
By the way, everyone. When can I go outside? Can I go outside, everyone? Can I go outside? Please, can I go outside? Can I go outside?
I want to see the fresh air. I want to go outside and just have a good time.
I want to see the sun.
They lock him up and they knock him. A fucking T.O. chokes him out. He fucking chokes a child out to knock him unconscious.
He chokes his own
boy
out for very important reasons. Like, okay, that's not good.
Yeah, and they lock him up in the cell. He starts screaming at them. Let me go. I want to go back to my god. Let me go.
Apophis loves me, unlike you, Dad. You wouldn't get it, Dad.
He's like, you promised you would come back for me and you never did. I'm like, I literally did come back just now.
It's not soon enough. You should have been back sooner.
But yeah, they immediately fucking caught the fake tooth thing. I'm like, okay, well, that's dealt with now.
Yeah.
We've run into the classic Stargate trap where we've run out of runtime at this point, so we have to resolve this immediately by just immediately catching it before it can even get close.
Yeah,
to
like
enough
it should have been like what Dryak's line should have been like so much earlier in the episode. Like, he was out playing, I saw him trip and fall, he like bashed his face on a rock, I was picking him up and then they took him from me, I still have the or something. Basically, you just need to work it into the plot way earlier.
Yeah, this came way too late into the episode, so they have to resolve it as soon as they find out about it.
The whole point of Chekhov's gun is that Chekhov's gun is shown to the audience really early on, left on the stage where the audience can see it, so Chekhov can later pick up the gun and shoot the bear.
Yeah, this is instead, we see Chekhov's gun on the mantle, and the gun immediately fires as soon as we see it.
This isn't Chekhov's gun, this is Chekhov's derringer hidden up his sleeve to go, oh, by the way, I have a derringer. Bang!
Yeah,
I hope Chekhov has a concealed firearms permit.
This moment, they're all like, okay, how do we resolve this episode, like, in a short, timely manner, and stop him being... How do we deprogram him?
I mean, first things first, right? Apparently, mm-hmm. the stuff in the teeth was so powerful, if it had been allowed into Earth's atmosphere, the planet would have been dead in a week, making the average plague ink virus. you know, the virus is called, like, tets or...
Fartballs! Yeah, the fartballs infection, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I definitely made a note of just Ryuk's here to play Plague Inc, apparently.
Yeah.
The whole episode was just to boil down to Ryuk wanting to play Plague Inc.
Yeah, Ryuk is worse at Plague Inc than me. He hasn't even picked any of the symptoms up, or any of the transmission method. He hasn't picked any of the transmission methods up yet, and they've already done the vaccine for him.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
Yeah, they're like, we have to fix this immediately. We have to deprogram the child.
Now.
Hey, have you heard of...
Yeah.
I'll give you the honor.
Electroshock therapy?
Oh my god! And the exact line they say about this is, oh, don't worry, it used to be harmful, but it's relatively fine these days.
Yeah, Jackson's
now.
Like, but that's barbaric! No, it's quite safe. How?
Oh no, it's quite fine.
But on a child? They even talk about how it could very almost kill the child because he's so much younger and they're still.
I was like, oh, it's fine, he's Jafar.
Oh, well, you see, what we do is we inject them with a paralytic first.
Yes, we.
And then an anesthetic. And then we torture them.
Yeah, that's fine. Like,
and we can't even tell if the anesthetic worked because the paralytic makes them unable to react. The pain.
Yeah, we zap them full of sodium pentothal, and then we see how it goes.
Yeah, and then they electroshock a child, and it works.
Yeah,
I don't like the message this sends.
Yeah, Teal'c is like, does your CCT have the same voltage as a Zach Nicotel blast? And then Neil's like, yeah, sure, buddy.
Probably.
Which is funny because...
Which is the thing they use to ice a guy, like, 10 minutes
ago. I want to point out that, right, one blast is enough to make a human in severe pain. The second blast shuts down the human nervous system and kills you instantly. And the third blast puts so much energy into the human form it disintegrates. How the
one
fuck
blast
is
on
one
a child? Fine. One blast on a child. Fine.
Kids get zapped by Zach Nicotels all the time.
Remember, it'll just be a light. It'll just be a light pull of the trigger, so it'll be a fraction of the energy.
Oh my! Like, I do wonder. Right, we joked. Obviously, we named the Jack O'Neill Award after the inciting event where Jack O'Neill fails basic gun safety around his kid. How many Gould kids zap themselves with their dad's zat?
the fucking Apophis sister award of gun safety.
Yeah. Like, Apophis has his child with Share, and then the kid just zats themselves by accident.
Yeah, I mean, like, we have, you know, like, we have, like, all of our, like, equivalent medals in, like, all of the NATO sort of, like, powers and everything like that. So, the Gould must have their own version of the Jack O'Neill Award, right?
Can I also just say, I quite like what they did for the makeup for the missing tooth. The tooth's not missing, it's just covered in black stuff.
Oh my god, I didn't even catch that.
Yeah.
I'm reopening the episode, hold on.
It's about 34-54.
Hold on. Yeah, they're not even missing at this point. Yeah, oh yeah, I see it. That's so stupid. That's so bad.
Yep. 90s, yay.
I mean...
But don't worry, they make up for the shock therapy with Mummy singing a nice song, which means that actually it's not so bad now.
Ryuk is in severe pain because you zap and is not breathing because you zapped him with the alien super taser, but it's okay because
quick, sing the Humpty Dumpty sap on the wall.
You don't turn your back on family.
This is what saves the day. It's the power of family.
Family.
Yeah, you get the point.
Quick, sing Twinkle Twinkle, sing
family,
Twinkle Twinkle Little Star to our son.
Our son always used to love My Chemical Romance. Sing the Black Parade or he will die!
Twinkle, twinkle, little cunt.
Oh no, my son. He grew up listening to Skrillex. How am I going to sing
that? Son, the astronaut!
No, my.
Oh yeah, Skrillex banger.
My son is a real fan of fucking Cannibal Corpse.
Oh yeah. And then we have the end of this episode, where as soon as I see the next scene is with the gate open, I swear I genuinely thought they were gonna send them just back to Chulak again.
What's the worst? The son is a believer.
Oh no.
No, baby, I'm fully deadass thought.
Baby,
no! I fucking deadass thought they were just gonna send him back to Chulak again.
Maybe.
They don't, though. They send him to the fucking, Daniel Jackson becomes a caveman planet.
Yeah, the Land of Light, so thank you for appearing in the plot. We're not gonna need you. We'll see you in, like, 3 seasons' time.
Is there a reason why they can't just stay here
no.
and be, like, a military family on base?
No.
Like, they do that, right? Those exist.
Yeah.
There are children who grow on military bases. It's
because they're virtual prisoners in the way of operations.
I mean, I don't get it. Like, the Cheyenne Mountain clearly have enough, like, nearby military bases. Like, there's clearly enough nearby place where they could just get them on a military base.
But if they keep them around in the main scene, it means then they have to make storylines.
No, really, they can just leave them on base.
It means they have to pay the actors
to
appear in episodes.
No, they don't even need to do that. They can just be like, "Oh, hey, Tilk, back from visiting your wife and family at the base." Yes, O'Neill, I had a lovely time. My wife has been learning about all sorts of new skills with the other women on base. She told me about this thing called Shibari.
My wife has been learning all sorts of new skills with this episode's sponsor, Skillshare O'Neill.
God damn. My wife introduced me to something last night. She called it the strap on. I must say, I found myself needing to strap in. But yeah.
O'Neill, have you heard of Buttplug.io?
Have you heard of Ultrakill with the Buttplug.io DLC, O'Neill? Should have downloaded that video before it fucking vanished into the ether. Oh well.
I guess you're just gonna do it again.
I will have to, yes. It'll be great, because there'll be two more people in my romantic circle there to bully me at that time. Yeah.
What does this episode say about Bellatown?
Sorry, I have some things I need to say before you do that.
Oh yeah?
This is the last appearance of Teal'c's wife.
No, of course it is. Of course it is, yep.
Yep, this is the final appearance of Teal'c's wife. Do you want to know what happens to her?
No.
Okay, cool. You'll find out. This is not the final appearance of Ryak. We will not see Ryak for 4 years.
Oh, cool.
We will not see Ryak until season 6.
Yeah, that's gonna. Yeah, and when we say 4 years, that will genuinely probably be like 4 years till we actually reach that part of the show.
Given we do 3 episodes. Yeah, we're doing just over a season a year, so.
I just remembered we haven't. The actual premise of our podcast we haven't done in like 10 episodes, which is what is to say about the military.
I was going to say, please, can you tell me what the premise is?
I mean, that was the original premise, and half the time it's kind of fallen through, because half the time it's just, the military are idiots, the military are unprepared, or this is stupid. I mean,
generally a lot of, it kind of has fallen by the wayside a lot. Mostly it's because, like you said, we can either just say the military are idiots or press the racism button.
Yeah, I think as you pointed out, in a way, we are almost waiting for 9/11, in a way.
Yeah.
Because, like...
Just like Rambo, we're waiting for 9/11.
Yeah, because at this point, like, the Gulf War is starting to fade out of memory.
Maybe next time.
Yeah. The wall is down, communism is gone, history has ended, and I guess in a way, like, a lot of these episodes are very much in the vein of history has ended and the US have found themselves, and that the US has suddenly found itself in a new war it's not prepared for. But also, we can't really do a lot about it because back home, everyone else thinks that the war is still over, that the history has ended and has, in fact, not started up again when we found the Stargate.
Well, listen here, you gotta understand that the United States could never lose a war.
Yeah. Vietnam? Much? What?
Yeah, don't worry. We didn't, no, it's fine.
We didn't lost, we withdrew and let the people of Vietnam resolve their internal differences.
It's the damn bureaucrats and politicians betrayed the troops.
Yep.
Oh, geez, where have I heard that argument before, anyway? What is the stab in the back myth? Anyway,
Yeah, the myth about spitting on veterans. The myth of the left behind POWs, which John McCain was, I believe, still parroting until he died.
Yeah, what a shame. Rip in peace, dude.
Rip in peace. Anyway.
But yeah, no. We're in this part of Stargate where, I mean, to be fair, in a way, I guess this episode is the unending of history, if I had to describe it as about the US military, because I need to burp, sorry. In the context of the show, right, history had, like, we unended history when we opened the Stargate, right, and we've got into a new war with the Jafar. We have stepped into a war with the Jafar on Mars. We need to take out their commander, head of the siege dancers, Valus Apophis. But, well, we stepped out of that war on Mars because we beat Apophis, and history ended when we blew up those two ships in near-Earth orbit with nuclear bombs.
Exactly.
Sorry, with C4. Like, history has now ended, and we are back to doing fun things, like, and exploring through the game.
That's quite a downgrade from nukes to C4.
Yeah, no, I fucked it up. my brain went wrong. But, yeah. Like, this episode, I think, like, there should be a lot more happening in this episode because at this point, history has unended. The war is back on. Like, Apophis has just tried to fucking bioweapon. Yeah.
Earth via a child, like, yes.
He has literally tried to do, I mean, actually, if we want to talk about, like, the US military, I know that the fucking Legion do it in New Vegas. I don't know if this is something that, like, I don't know whether or not the Taliban or everyone actually did this, but, like, using children as agents of explosives and bioweapons, like, that's some absolutely fucked up shit. And, yeah, here we see that history unending in the most violent way with the literal use of a child suicide bomber.
We love that.
Yeah, like...
Oh, jeez, I hope these 9 episodes after 9/11 are gonna get fun.
Not to mention an indoctrinated,
yeah, an indoctrinated brainwashed
child. Requires electro stim to fix.
An indoctrinated brainwashed child suicide bomber, like,
oh god, this is the most like pre 9/11 post 9/11 episode.
Yeah, it is. Like,
yeah,
you actually challenged me to get off my ass and actually think about the episode. And yeah, this is absolutely fucked up, and it's okay because you want to talk 9/11 shit. The next episode is called Secrets, and we are in for a good time.
Oh no.
Oh yes.
Well, you see, the world made a surprise attack, Jack, and they've destroyed the World Trade Center.
Again, this is August 21st, 1998, and look up the Espionage Act, people, and the things America does to journalists.
Oh yeah, speaking of predicting 9/11,
Simpsons did it.
Yeah, also, the video game Deus Ex accidentally did it.
It did.
The New York skybox was too small for them to put
the Twin Towers in.
The World Trade Center in it, and so in an interview, when they were asked why the World Trade Center isn't in the New York skyline in the 2050s, their answer was the World Trade Center was destroyed in a terrorist attack before the events of Deus Ex. And you know what?
They were right.
They were right.
S in chat for the World Trade Center. Gone too soon, but always in our hearts. Play the song.
Oh. I'm so sorry. My brain was like asleep there. Then like, so it's like, ah!
Always in our hearts, the World Trade Center.
Always in our hearts, no.
Gone, but not forgotten.
I'm certain it's probably in our lungs at this point, because there'll be particles of the building all over the world.
Yeah, just you know, we've got Muhammad after, and he's just...
No. I'm just remembering...
Yeah, that's our episode, right?
I'm just remembering the comic that came out after Volume 3 aired. Like, it's okay, Jean. Pyro will be always with us. Literally, in my lungs. I think I breathed some of her in when Cinder fucking incinerated her. plugs. Pluggo. Let's end the episode and wrap it up. Blaze.
Hi.
Our lovely guest.
Blaze. Plugs.
Hi. Sorry. Hi. Blaze. Hey. My socials so far are currently Twitch. If you ever want to watch me, I stream on Twitch. Twitch.tv/BlazeSolaris. And I have a social media of Twitter, twitter.com/AdiraSol, if you wish to follow me there.
Banging. Frosty?
I am Arctisha Frost. You can find me on twitch.tv/ArctishaFrost.
When are you going to stream again?
Eventually. I guess you can also find me on...
I don't know, Letterboxd?
Co-host, Tumblr...
I don't post on anything really anymore.
Did you get on Threads?
No, I didn't.
You can find the lurking in Hope's social medias.
I mean, you can't even see Twitter anymore, which means you can't see all the area I'm posting, which is a crime.
Yeah.
Ah, oh, damn.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I'll join Blue Sky if they ever let me on it. I don't know. We'll see.
Some real Blue Sky thinking there. Anyway, twitch.tv/HopeFrayerall, at HFrayerall on Twitter. I technically have a Tumblr, I'm barely using it.
Woman.
No!
Oh,
yeah. That's the hub.
Woman.
Thank you all for listening.
Patreon.
Yep. Fuck yeah, patreon.com/SJPodcast. You can get extended cuts of these episodes.
Definitely this one. It ran for an hour and nearly 2 hours.
Our monthly bonus episodes, where we have one bonus episode a month where we talk about a random movie. And we actually have another one where you get to watch Hope Suck and Fuck. Thank you all for listening.
So we just released, by the way, the Max Payne bonus episode. What's next month's bonus, Frosty?
Hitman 2007.
Yep. So, okay, do you want to know what my bonus pick is?
What?
I was going to do Doom originally, and someone said that someone said something to me that we should do instead.
Yeah.
We're doing the Super Mario Brothers movie from the 1990s.
Oh, shit. Fuck yeah. Fuck yeah.
You're welcome
on
that idea.
Let's fucking go.
Monkey! Fuck, it's going to be a train wreck.
It's going to be a train wreck. Hopefully. I'll be there with you.
Oh, sweetie. Fuck it. Oh, sweetie. You and me can make out while the train crashes and burns. Or we can jump off the edge and make out safely while the train burns around us.
We also have to eventually... For the only reason so I can get the drop of Adam Sandler saying I'm coming, we have to also do Uncut Gems at some point eventually ever.
If you want, we can do, you can submit what you want for bonus episodes, even if really I don't know, we should try and keep it predictable. Like we should try and do a Seagal movie in season 2 at some point.
Oh, you're right, we should do another Seagal movie. Fuck,
we should do some, I think, I don't know what we should do, on Deadly Ground, Executive Decision, or I don't know, we could do Half Past. Oh god, we could do Half Past Dead and Hate Our Lives.
We've got to do a newer Seagal movie.
We have
got
to. We need to do the one that's set in like Eastern Europe. Well, there's two recent Seagals that are really, really bad. That, because one of them, we could trace the fucking QAnon kidnapping trend and do the one where Seagal is chasing down his underage pen pal who gets kidnapped by some weird child traffickers. And for some reason, it has a homage to fucking the worst Pierce Brosnan movie.
Not my Discord kitten.
Yeah, it's a girl's Discord kitten. Yeah, this movie has that movie has a homage to fucking Die Another Day as there is a sword fight.
Yeah, famously, the only movie did sword fights.
Like the fencing sword fight that then goes. Is it Mercenary for Justice?
Yeah, random...
No, it's not Mercenary for Justice. That's even worse.
Oh yeah, random random side tangent before we finish. Did you know that the like Wagner Group fucking employed a 16-year-old Hearts of Iron 4 YouTuber to do propaganda for them?
I think this came up. I can't remember. I think I may have seen this on NCD. I can't 100% remember. but it does not surprise me in the fucking slightest.
Huh? Why are there such weird people in Paradox game communities? Anyway, I'll let you think about that as we finish up this episode.
Most popular mod for Hearts of Iron 4. Why is there Imperial Japan and Nazi Germany in the 1960s? Oh no.
Oh no.
Yeah, why is it called the World War II good ending mod?
Fuck, we need to do our CK3 collab at some point, because I...
Okay, to be fair, that mod probably does exist, but it's probably genuinely just like a Man in the High Castle mod.
I know it exists, because someone mentioned... It came up on the fucking... an episode of WTYP.
Oh, of course it did. Why am I not surprised?
Yeah. I actually can't find this mod that they were on. Is it New Order? Brave New World? Yes, it is. I found it. It's called the New Order for Hearts of Iron 4.
Oh, right. It's a Wolfenstein thing, isn't it?
Nope.
Oh, it's not. Okay. It's just.
That is what they call it.
Okay. All right, cool. You can stop recording now, probably, by the way.
Yeah, probably.